We ought to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. We're going to read some verses there. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. We'll begin there with verse 9. Those words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Corinth. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. And there every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he build thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become as a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness of God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, Apollos, Cephas, or the world. Life, death, things present, things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. I'm going to talk on those verses this morning. Actually, I have in mind the wise master builder. We have there, Paul said that as a wise master builder. And so we're going to study this verses. He talks about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man, and we'll talk about those things. Before we go into study, we'll need God's help, need his wisdom and guidance as we continue to worship him. I need his wisdom this morning, might teach the word in his pure and simplicity. You need the wisdom that you might receive it in that way. So we need God's help. I believe God in Christ, Holy Spirit are with us this morning. I believe they're in this audience. So as we worship him in spirit and in truth. A different assembly from any that we might go into, regardless of where they might be. When we come together as Christians, it's a different assembly. So at this time, we're going to go to God in prayer. Humble yourself while we pray.
We are thankful to be here because it's the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. Thankful to be among those of like precious faith, of kindred spirit. We have visitors with us this morning from far off. We're glad they're here. I'll not mention the different states for fear I overlook some, but we want you to know we're glad you're here. We're glad that you're a child of God. We're glad that you're a Christian. We're glad that you're interested in your soul, and when you're away from home, that you would be at the house of God. And we've come together this morning for that purpose. I've enjoyed the song service. They were well selected, well sung, appreciate the prayer. And I trust as I teach you this morning, it'll be for good. What I'm going to teach about this morning, I think, is very important. I think it's very important that we understand it, that we believe it. The reason for that is that man has gotten where he takes God lightly, takes Christ lightly, takes the Word lightly, the Holy Spirit lightly, takes the church lightly, and so forth. People of the world don't understand. The Bible says there'll be many called, but few chosen. The more I study the Bible, the more I realize how important it is to obey God, keep His commandments. Beware of anyone that would try to encourage or lead us astray. And especially for the young people this morning, I want to point those facts out to you. Facts that we've learned and studied over the years. Much of this, no doubt, will be things we've heard before, but stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. You know, Peter said to make your calling and election sure. I've had people tell me in the past that if they could just reach heaven by the skin of the teeth, they'd be happy. And I immediately reply, what if you miss heaven by the skin of your teeth? Think about that this morning. What if Christ come right now? And just as the old expression goes, I just barely missed heaven. Just by the skin of my teeth, I missed heaven. If I'd just done a little more, if I just studied the word a little more, if I live a little closer to the Lord, if I'd made my calling and election sure, how wonderful it would have been. He also teaches us to live that we might have an abundant entrance in the everlasting kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you'd like, turn to 1 Corinthians 3 and follow in the Bible. Most of our scriptures will be from these verses. We'll talk about them. We'll bring in a few others along, but this will be primarily where we are. Now, the Apostle Paul here talks about a wise master builder there in verse 10. Now, remember, Paul had persecuted the church. He had caused Christians to be put to death. He had tried to destroy the church and so forth. And he points out the fact that it's according to the grace of God that this has been given to him. And it was by the grace of God that Paul could do this. And Paul never lost that thought. He never lost that all through life. The remaining days that he served the Lord, he always remembered that it was by the grace of God, that God had spared him where he could. Then he says, as a wise master builder. The word wise there means skilled or expert. In other words, one that's an expert builder. Now, in all trades, we know that's true. We see people out that do different jobs. He might be a carpenter. He might be on computers, whatever it might be. And after a while, there are those that really become experts. They really become skilled, and they're able to do that. And there are others, like I would be in some of those things. I never am skilled at it. I've never mastered that. But Paul says here now that when it comes to Christianity and the Word of God, that he's a wise master builder. Now he said, and another buildeth thereupon, or rather, I have laid the foundation. Now, foundation there in Corinth, Paul had preached as the foundation of the church and of each individual Christian. And this foundation admitted no mixture of philosophy and no perversions which could produce sex. In other words, he just preached a solid gospel. You know, I like good, solid, sound preaching. I like for people to get up, explain the scriptures, teach the scriptures, talk about Christ, talk about God, and do those things. In other words, that which is firm, that which is solid. That's what Paul said. He said now that he had laid this foundation here, and he laid that which was taught by Jesus Christ. Now, remember, Christ called him. He told him now, said, I've got a work for you. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. You'll suffer many things, me and so forth. He pointed that fact out to them. And therefore, Paul knew that he had to be an expert, a skilled master builder in building that. Now he told us, I said, take heed how that you build thereupon. In other words, take heed. Be careful how you build. Behold, I lay in Zion, Isaiah said, that he laid that foundation. So Paul says, be careful. That it should be a danger there. Be aware. Don't teach something false. Don't teach something error. You know, I realized this morning, if I teach error and I teach something false, not only will I have to give an account the day of judgment, but if you accept that and obey it, I'll have to give an account for causing you to do that. Now, I've got to be a wise master builder. Therefore, I don't want to advise anybody anytime to do anything that would cause them to lose their soul. So it says now that you here beware of that. Now, there's danger of false teaching. He tells that. There's danger of false methods. There's danger of false doctrines. There's danger of building with materials that's not scriptural. There's danger of using the wrong type of materials. So he said, be very careful. So when I build upon that foundation, I've got to have the proper materials, and that proper material is the Word of God, and build upon that foundation with that. Now notice in verse 11 he said, for the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now there's only one foundation. Notice closely. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want you to notice there that Christ says, I will build my church. That's future tense. It had not been built at that time, but he said, I will build my church. I will build that. I will point this out. No. In Isaiah 28:16, he said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone. I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I want you to notice that. He's going to lay that foundation. Upon this rock I will build my church. That is a Christ upon his teaching, his word. He's that stone. He's that chief cornerstone. He's that precious stone. He's that tried stone. Christ lived here. He lived here 33 years. And 3 years particularly, he was really tried and finally put to death. He was tried. But that stone was sure. That word was sure. That God had promised him that he would raised again. And he was. Every prophecy was fulfilled. All those things concerning him. Now, to preach Christ is to preach the fundamental or foundation truths of the church. So that's what Paul said. Now, how can a man preach the truths of the Bible and not preach the Bible? How can you preach the New Testament and not study the New Testament? How can man do that? We've got to understand it. We've got to know it in order to obey it and so forth. Well, let's notice now what he says further. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, these materials were very familiar in Corinth, and they're familiar today. We know gold. We know silver. We know precious stones. We know wood. We know wood, hay. We know stubble, don't we? Use terms that we understand and we know. Now, here's what he's telling this man. If you start to build a building, like a man goes out here, and he wants to build a building. And we've got a couple of brethren that are building houses. They don't want wood, hay, or stubble. They don't want just any kind of wood. They want something that's good. That's what he says. If you build upon this foundation, use that which is good. Now, of course, we know what is good. Now, gold, silver, and precious stones were used in their fireproof buildings. Now, if we want a fireproof building, we'll use that, won't we? We want that material, that wood. On the other hand, the wood, hay, and stubble were used in their frail, combustible huts. Now, we know that oftentimes that buildings are overtaken by fire, aren't they? Now, I've read where some huts, you might say, or some cheaper type buildings in the sense of what it costs, they just go up in flames. And they just say it just blew up and just all of a sudden it's gone. Well, you know, your brick buildings and your buildings, well, taken care of and so forth, they don't go up like that, do it? That's what he's pointing out here is the difference in that. So what we find now, that he points this out to us. Now, here's what he's saying. The church, follow me, the church will be of the character of the material built upon it. Now, the congregation, the church, the people, not talking about this building now, talking about the people. They'll be of the character of the type of material that's used. And that type of material is the Word of God. That's the Word of God. And you'd be surprised, folks, at people that don't want the Word of God. They don't want what it says. And we're going to point that out later when we come to this man's wisdom and God's wisdom. They just simply don't want the Word. They don't want to hear it. And I've had people tell me when I'd start to read a scripture, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Why? Why? That's the material it stands. That's the material it does. And, you know, it bothers me when people say, oh, I'm not going to talk to you about it. Don't want to talk to you about it. Now, I don't like to argue, and I don't want to argue, but I do like to discuss the scriptures. And so there's a difference there. Well, let's go on now in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, I want to explain these scriptures very carefully here, because I was reading in some commentaries again that I have. I don't take everything commentary says, but they was interested in seeing what they say this works was here. And some of them even said that it's our own personal works. And when we come the day of judgment, that those works will be taken out of our lives and they'll be burned. And the good works in us, we'll go on to heaven and so forth. I don't believe a word of that. I don't believe that's what that means at all. Because every man's going to be judged by his work. And I was reading that in Revelation, the last part of it. So I finished the book of Revelation reading this morning there, where those things be destroyed. And those things would be a man's works. He'd be judged by his work and all those things. But what is he talking about here? Now here's what he says. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be made apparent. It'll be made evident. The kind of work every builder does, its character will be known. It will be known. When the trials come, when the persecutions come, when the troubles come, when the heartaches come, when the sorrows come, when all those problems come, the character of that work will cause it to stand. And that's true in the church. It's pointed out to us in a lesson recently how that people oftentimes let those things just take them away from church. But if they're well grounded there and well taught, nothing can take us from it. And that's pointed out in 1 Corinthians also, I believe it is, where it talks about that none of those things can move us from the Lord. Now, it'll be revealed. It'll uncover. It'll be laid open. It'll be has been veiled, but no longer veiled. The day of judgment will reveal the true character of all who are in the church. It'll review our true character. The day of judgment will. As a fire reveals the character material in a temporal structure. Now I said of what sort it is. What sort? What does sort there mean? It simply means now of what quality. Of what quality it is. What quality work? The work of some builders, when tested, will vanish. Some men find today that some of the fireproof buildings are not fireproof when the fire comes. Haven't you heard of a building destroyed? And they said, well, I thought that building's fireproof. But it wasn't, was it? Why? Didn't have the proper materials. They just thought it did. And I tell you, that's true, folks, with the church. There's a lot of people that think that they're fireproof, but are not. And sometimes our character, and we have to be careful. Now, what it's going to do in that day, every man's work is going to be tried of what quality is. When I stand before God, this right here is going to judge me. And I'll be judged by what kind of character I am according to this and how this is in my heart. And if this is the material that's in my heart, this is the thoughts and words that are in my heart, I won't fear that fire. But if there's man's doctrines, worldly things, things of this world, then that will be me and I'll fear. I'll fear. Yes, sir. That's the reason to make your calling and election sure. Now let's carry this a little further. In verse 14, if any man's work abide which built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now, here's the man, and that don't just include me, that includes each of you. Mothers teaching your children, fathers, mothers teaching children, teaching one another, teaching church, teaching sinners, and all. Our work will be tried. We'll be tried. It'll be tried. If that work abides, we'll receive reward. Now, if we have taught the truth, if we've taught those things that are right, whether they accept it or not, whether they want it or not, We can be saved because we've done it because we loved them. You see the point? That's the reason. Reason I teach you this morning is because I love you. Reason I taught myself this because I want to save my soul. I love my soul. I want it to be saved. Now, here the next verse brings it in real good. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Now, if any man's work shall be burned, what is that? Now, follow me closely. If you, parents, if you teach your children and later in life they are lost, you can save yourself. Now, you'll suffer loss in the fact that they were lost, but you can still save yourself. Now, when we teach people the gospel, and when I teach people the gospel, even though some of them might be lost, I can still be saved if I do my part. Now, Paul said, I bring my body under, bring it under subjection, lest that after I've taught others, I myself should be a castaway. And I know this, I could teach you, and every person in this house could be saved, and I could be lost if I don't do it. Now, remember that. I understand that very clearly, so I've got to do that. But what I'm saying is now that if I teach the truth and people reject it and obey it, I hate to see them be lost. And folks, over the years, I've seen people that I converted, I baptized, and I taught for a long time. They left the church. They quit. They went back in the world, and they lived out in the world, and they died in sin, and I suffered loss. I suffered loss, but I can save myself. Folks, it's individual. It's individual. Save yourself. So that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about all these wicked works man might do, that they'll be burned up. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about those here. And so he will suffer that loss. Now, certainly he don't want anyone that they might be lost. So if his disciples do not stand the test, he shall lose whatever property he had in them. You know, a man could build a house. And like we pointed out a while ago, and some here have built houses. That house could go up in flames. That house could go up in flames. And we find there that you've lost that structure. And it's gone up in flames. See? And a man could lose a crop out here. Come right up time to harvest that crop. Come a hailstorm. Come something like that. Destroys it, see? But he himself is okay. And I believe that's what we have here. Now let's notice verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know you not that you are the temple of God? The Spirit of God makes his home in us, not in temples made with hands. I want to say very definitely this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I believe God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. One time I was asked the question when I said, I believe the Holy Spirit dwells in us. You believe God and Christ dwells in us? Yes, sir. Yes, the scriptures teach it. Just read it this past week about God dwells in us, and we've dwelt, Christ dwells in us, Spirit dwells in us. And I want you to know, folks, if we're the children of God, the Spirit of God and Christ dwell in us. They dwell in us. And he points out that fact here now. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And he dwells in this assembly this morning and dwells in us individually. Now, this must not be neglected. This must not be neglected, folks. It must not be defiled. It must not be corrupted. The temple here, it must not be made secondary to anything in this world. I want you to know, folks, this God, Christ, and Spirit that dwell in me, this Word that dwells in me, it's not to be made secondary to my job, my family, my money, my home, you name it. It's not to be made secondary to nothing. That's to be first. That's to be the character there. You see, that don't mean I can't love my family. I encourage people to love their family. I encourage a husband to love his wife and wife to love her husband. Children love the parents. Parents love the children. But I want you to know this. When it comes that time, sometimes a man may have to give up wife. A woman may have to give up husband. A family may have to give up children. A child may have to give up parents. All those things to serve the Lord. But I want you to know, God comes first. Christ comes first. And everything, that's how we make decisions, folks, about what's right and wrong, is what dwells in us, the character of people we are. That character just makes us realize those things are wrong. Now I want to give you one scripture I'm going to turn to now. It's 1 John, the 4th chapter. And I want to make this plain here, just what I said there, what John taught. 1 John, the 4th chapter, beginning verse 4. If you read with me, good. If you don't, listen very closely. John said, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Now God, Christ, the Holy Spirit that's in us, the Word, it's greater than Satan and all of his temptations, everything he offers us, and he can help us overcome it. They are of the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. You know what the world wants me to preach this morning? Something soothing, something comforting, something that will please their ears, something that will tickle their ears. That's what they want to hear. Isn't that right? They don't want the simple truths preached to them. They don't want the plan of salvation preached to them. They don't want the one church preached to them. They don't want preached to them. The world don't. That's the spirit of the world. Well, we don't have that spirit. But if we had that, they'd hear us. Now notice, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You know, a man gets up, and we've had good lessons lately. I've sat right out there, and I heard those because they were speaking of God. They spoke of Christ. They spoke of the Holy Spirit. They spoke of the Christian life. And we hear them. Why? Because that's what we want to hear. He that is not of God heareth not us. Now notice, here it is. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What? The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And folks, I want you to know there's a spirit of error. Because there's a spirit of truth, a spirit of error. Now, how are they? Those that hear this spirit of truth, those that hear man-made doctrines, wise men's teaching and all that, spirit of error. That's what he's coming up to. Okay, let's go further now. The next verse, verse 17, if I correct here. Notice what I said. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. If I destroy this temple here, that word that's in there, if I destroy that and put it out, what I do, I defile the temple of God. I want you to know, when I let sin come into this mind, sin come into this heart, I defile that temple. I defile that temple. Because this belongs to God. Folks, I don't have right to do just what I want to. Oh, I had a brother, he wasn't in the true church, but he told, oh, that takes our freedom away from us. That's not our freedom to live after the world. It's not our freedom to live according to the world. It's our freedom to be free from sin. That's the freedom we have. And it's our freedom there. It's not to please the word. And he said, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. I want you to know God dwells in us. And that's how that he wants people converted to him, is through that which are in them. So the church also can be destroyed as God's temple by so defiling it that God will not dwell in it. And I want you to know there's a lot of people meeting this morning, and they're meeting as a church, but I don't believe God is dwelling in them because they're not teaching and doing what God tells them to do. It's Someone said, judging. No, I'm not judging. I'm just telling what the Word says. Just telling what the Word says. That's exactly what the Word says. It says that. If any man's not in God, that man's lost. If Christ not God, not in him, they're lost. And that's our purpose for it. And when we say that, it's not because we despise them or hate them. It's because we love them. We want to point that fact out to them. And we take the scripture that we can. Now, the earth was defiled by man introducing practice into it, not ordained of God, following practice of the evil one by substituting the will of man for the will of God. How did sin enter the world? How did it do it? Through a devil tempting Eve? What happened to Cain and Abel? Abel's doing will of God, God's will, brought to fruits. Cain, on the other hand, he didn't. What did he do? He slew his brother. You know, he's going to try to substitute, wasn't he? Devil's going to try to substitute. When he tempted Jesus, he's going to try to substitute. Why? If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything in this world. It's all mine. I'll give it all to you. Substituting, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Yeah. I'll give it to you. You can have it. Now, man's introduced that. And he introduces things today to deceive people. Now, let's get a little closer. Verse 17, 18. Let no man deceive himself. Notice that. Let no man deceive himself. That's to me. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now, deceive himself by thinking himself wise enough to mend or modify God's truth. Now, if any man has the self-conceit that he thinks he can amend or modify this to make it better, don't deceive yourself. And I've had people say, I know the Bible says that, but I believe now in this day and time it'd be better if we done this. What's he doing? Deceiving himself. He's deceiving himself. I want to tell you something. Self-conceit is one of the most dangerous things there is. To be proud of self. Self-conceit. And that's exactly, let no man deceive himself. Folks, I wish we could help just millions of people endeavor to be saved. There in Revelation, I was reading, it's talking about these people being punished. And they say, oh, let me die, let me die. I wish they could die. And so they won't. Just keeps right on. Keeps right on day and night forever and ever. And I'll tell you folks, in that everlasting punishment, there'll be people crying, let me die, let me die, and they'd want to die. But they can't. And you know it's going to be forever? Never going to end. Never. That's what he says, let no man deceive himself. And we shouldn't deceive ourselves. I'm talking about when we want to substitute and place things ahead of God. Oh, yes. That's the reason the war is going on right now. The reason people are being killed, innocent people. All those things is because of man and his wisdom. Man and his wisdom. Okay? He warns against this danger of the wisdom of this world. It seemeth, he said here that... This man seemeth to be wise in this world. If he is wise in his own estimation and that of the world, let him choose what the world calls foolishness in order that he may become wise unto salvation. And I'll tell you something, folks. The wisdom of this world this morning would really condemn me. Yes, sir. The wise men of this world would really condemn me, saying, oh, you think that you... are the only ones right. You think you've got to worship the Lord this way. You think you got to do this. You think you got to do that. But they never go to see what this says here. You know what? That's foolish for them. I've had people tell me, it's foolish to think the man's got to be go down and get all wet and go underwater to be saved. I've had people tell me that. I've had them tell me that a lot of times. And that's just simply foolishness with them. But I tell you what, to we that are Christians, that's not foolish. And I'll tell you what, when we see a precious soul going down in that water and come up out of that water, I want to know that's one of the happiest feelings that a person can have. And I've told many a person after I baptized them, thus far in life, this is the greatest step that you've ever taken. This greatest thing you've ever done so far in life. I tell most of them that after I've baptized them. Why? Because it is. That's God's wisdom. God saw fit to do that. That was his will, but the world not. Self-deception, the most common phase of deception among men. That's the most common phase of it. This warning grows out of man's tendency to deceive himself. Many of us, while gratifying the flesh, listen to me closely. Many of us, while gratifying the flesh, imagine we're following the Spirit. When we're gratifying this flesh, many times we better be careful. We think that we're following the Spirit when we satisfy the flesh. But we're not. We're here to do that. Isn't it nature, this old flesh of nature, we kind of like to pet it, kind of like to heft it along, kind of like to satisfy it, kind of like to do all those things? You know, today we find that many people out in the religious world, many preachers, not talking about Church of Christ right now, preach for money. We know that. We know that. But you know what? They preach for that money and that ease, and imagine they're preaching to save souls. Yes, sir. What about these preachers that just took money, stole it, just begged for it and everything, and they satisfy themselves, oh, we're saving souls. We're trying to save souls. They're just deceiving themselves, folks. They're just deceiving themselves. I've been amused for a long time. We and our brother in the Church of Christ, we don't go out and get a preacher and sit down and talk about all the financial aspects and everything. Yes, he's got to have a living. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not objecting to that. But I'll tell you what, our paper come to the church box that I got quite interested in for a while. In the Digressive Church, this Church of Christ, where they have cups and classes, they had ads in there for jobs. That's what they called it, employment jobs. I never did consider when I preached that being a job. I never did look at it that way. I never did. But I want to tell you something. In there, it does. I met a kid one time. I just started preaching. Went to the bus station on back Midland. Living there and preaching. Been down to somewhere and had come back to San Angelo, Texas. He told me, said he was going to a religious school, seminary. And I asked him, I said, well, I said, when you get out of school, what are you going to do? He said, well, I said, I'm going to get a congregation. I said, I'm going to get a church. I said, well, I said, how you go about that? He said, well, I said, I'll tell you. I said, the professor said, I'm in real good with him. And said, he knows where there's a lot of good positions and where you can have a good job and a good salary and so on and so on. And said, he's going to get one for me. And you know these people, they say, I used to hear them in one of the churches. They'd talk about this call. Different church called them preach. But I never did see one of them that was called from a small congregation to a large one. There's always called to that bigger congregation in a bigger town where there's more salary and everything. Most generally, 95% of them to 98% of them was always called a better job. And that's always puzzled me. Because the Apostle Paul, he was hungry, he starved, and all that. You see what self-conceit can do for you? You see what man's wisdom can do for you? God, we studied it in our study some, I believe, Monday night, about the poor. God called the poor. You know why? Because they're the ones that humble themselves. Because they're not trusting in man's wisdom, in man's guidance, and so forth. Oftentimes, they build great, fine buildings. Great, fine buildings. Live in San Antonio before I started preaching, 1940s, late 40s. Man's talking to me one day, and they'd built a new building, Church of Christ. Big, fine building back then. He asked me, said, he didn't know what I was that time. Said, won't you come over to one of our churches? Won't you see our building? Boy, we got a fine building. Won't you see our pews? Won't you see it? Said, come over and say, we'll show you all about our building. Never one time did he say anything, I want to show you, we want to teach some truth. That's man's wisdom. Brethren, sometimes, don't misunderstand me. I'd like to have something different from what we've got. I'm satisfied with what we've got, but don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to having a new building. But I want to tell you something. Too many times people get their eyes on that so much, they lose the real reality of it. They do. They really lose what it is. I'll tell you, you can go over in Zambia, you can go over in Malawi, you can go over those countries. And I saw people sitting out there, we had a picture of it. They had some blocks laid up just to the top there where it would be. No roof whatsoever. Warm day, sun and shine just like it is today. Cement blocks out there. Sitting out there on those cement blocks in that sun to worship God. Yes, sir. I believe that worship is just acceptable if it had the finest building in the world. But man's wisdom said, now if you want to grow a crowd, if you want to get people to come, and you want to make an impression, now you're going to have to get a building. I'll tell you what, if we're going to convert people to Christ and those good and honest souls, we're going to have to get it right in here. And when we get it right in here, then we'll do some good. Because we'll be out there, we'll be teaching them, and we'll be training. Now there's a difference between God's wisdom and man's wisdom. There's the difference. That's the way man looks at it. And self-conceit causes men to depend upon their own wisdom and strength instead of that of God and leads them to ruin spiritually. Man's self-conceit upon his own dependence. I've said this many times, I'm going to say a lot more now. I'm not out to defend myself. And I don't have any mind of taking anybody's life. I studied a man one time. And he asked me, said, if a man walked through that door right now and attacked you and your family, what would you do? I told him, well, don't believe will, because God says he's not going to let me be tempted above that which I can bear. But I also believe that if he does, I'm going to have a way of escape. He said, boy, you're there for me. He said, if I had a gun, he walks in that door, said, he's dead. So I'd kill him. There's the difference in man's wisdom and God's wisdom. God's told me to protect me. And you know, I believe that. Yes, we live in times. Oh, it's dangerous to get out now at night. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what God told me to do. I'm going to stay out of those dangerous spots. Folks, don't go anywhere that you know there's danger. Protect yourself. And God will protect you. So, we're to do that. We don't depend upon our own strengths. Now let's notice verse 19. For the wisdom of this world, notice it, the wisdom of this world is foolish with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. What is it? We worship foolish the world. What they do is foolish to us. So it says here, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. To be wise after the world is to be a fool before God. To be wise with God is to be fool with the world. Now, the disposition to introduce things in the service of God based on human opinion or judgment has been the besetting sin of man from the beginning. You know, man thought he could improve on God's way of teaching. Man thought he could. God said, for y'all may prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. Man thought he could prove on that, get him a hired minister to preach every sermon, do all the teaching, and do it all. He thought he could improve on that. God knew what he talked about. Man thought he could improve on the Lord's Supper. I've had people tell me, if you put in individual cups, you draw a lot bigger crowd. Huh, you trying to tell me something I didn't already know? I guarantee you, folks, if we'll put individual cups on that table and we'll advertise it and we'll put some classrooms out here, I'll guarantee you we can increase the crowd. Tell you something else. If we'll accept people without obeying the gospel, without being baptized, I'll guarantee you we can get a house full. And that's what man's wisdom does. That's what man's wisdom says. But what does God's wisdom say? God's wisdom said there's one body, one church. God's wisdom said there's one baptism. God's wisdom taught us how to do that. There's the difference, folks. All people say, oh, they're educated men. They've got degrees. Got all that. Right. But they've let that interfere with this here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not opposed to having a degree. I'm not opposed to any of that. As long as this is always kept first. And don't misunderstand me. I don't have no objection to that. And I've never taught against that. Except, and that would go down even the lowest person. Ever what might keep you out of heaven serving the Lord, if it keeps from it, just don't do it. I won't say what I started to say. I'm nearly through. I'm not going to keep you much longer. But I want you to be edified. And I feel like you're edified this morning if you want to be edified. I feel like that. Not because of me, but because of what the Word said. Because of what that Word said. I just want to look at a few attractions that draw people to church, and that's just off the cuff. Luxuriously equipped buildings, number one. Fine mechanical instruments furnish the best music. How would you like to have somebody here this morning could really play an organ? Boy, and it would just really play. Is that what attracts people? Oh, I've had people tell me, oh, won't you see our organ? We've got the finest organ you ever saw. Well-paid and eloquent ministers and pastors. They want a real good, eloquent speaker. That's what the world wants. They want one that is just really eloquent. Some of the best thoughts brought out by brethren that could hardly express it. But they brought it out and they put it over. And I want to tell you, brethren out there this morning, every one of you that I've heard teach, I've got some good thoughts from it. I have, and I say that truthfully. And that's what God wants to see. But most people, they want that. That's what draws them. Preaching on topics of current interest. I'm not talking about Afghanistan this morning and talking about all those things. That's not my sermon. That's not my lesson. I'm not talking about current events. I've had people tell me, one time one of my brothers told me he is running for county commissioner or something. I forgot what it was. But he said, tell your church to vote for me. I'm not telling church nothing. I don't tell them to do something I don't take no part in. But you see the point? That's the way the world looks at. With all the societies, all the helps to attract and entertain the young and the old, gymnasiums, all those kind of things, youth ministers to entertain, all those things. That's foolishness. That's God's way, not God's way. Well, I want to say one final thought, number three. I take quite a bit of medicine, and I get a bottle, and it's for some particular thing. For example, I take a medicine for diabetes, and it's good. I take some medicine for heart problem. It's really good. But you know what? There's some side effects that some of that medicine. You know, you can take some medicine that will cure one thing and something else, it'll do it harm. And on that, there's warnings. I get medicine. If you're a diabetic, high blood pressure, so-and-so, consult a physician before taking this medicine. Why that warning? Why that negative? What if I said, oh, don't say anything negative does. Don't tell people the negative part. Just tell them the positive. Just tell them the positive. Don't tell them the negative. Folks, don't you think about that. Don't you think about that. I'm glad to tell them. I'm through. I've talked long and intended to. I haven't talked too long, but I've talked long and intended to. You've been real patient, one, real good. If you'd like to talk further to me about this, I'll be glad to discuss it further, explain it to you. And if I'm wrong, show it to me, and I'll go out with the others. No doubt you're here this morning. You're not in a safe condition. You remember that this is eternally. This is something that never ends. This is something that will never end. If you've never obeyed the gospel, and there are those here, you've been nearly persuaded, no doubt. You've thought about it, but you've just been putting it off. Why do you want to put it off any longer? Why don't you just come this morning, believing Jesus Christ, Son of God, repent of your sin, I'm going to live a different life, I'm going to put Christ in my heart, in my mind, my heart, I'm going to serve him. Repent of all those things. Confess Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ, Son of God. You'll never utter any sweeter words. Then you can be baptized in the name of Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You can rise out of that watery grave of baptism. You can add to that faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godly brotherly kindness, charity. Live faithful as long as you live. And then you can have that home that we've been talking about this morning. That which we pray for. Why don't you do that this morning? Why do you put it off? I'll take your confession. One of the brethren will be happy to baptize you. Why don't you do that? If you obey that, your life has not been right. You want to get in a straight and narrow way and live faithful. Confess your faults one another. Pray one for another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Opportunity is yours. Always stand. Always stand.